50 in service, starting mileage 2497, 2497. Officers Perkins and Madlock, turret duty 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. on the night watch.
Check 50, 602 p.m., starting night watch.
This is Don Reed, and I'm the police recorder riding with this detective unit. The sounds you are listening to are authentic. And you're going to ride with us tonight and listen as the cases unfold. Now, I want you to remember one thing. The people you hear are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is what happens on the night watch.
Night watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now to Car 5-0 on patrol and your police recorder, Don Reed.
Well, it's 1:30 a.m. on the Night Watch. We've been patrolling for over 7 hours, and things have been fairly quiet tonight. Just checking our log. At 8:21 p.m., assisted car 57 with a miscellaneous injury call. 9:30 until approximately 12:40 a.m., we staked out on a liquor store on a tip that it might be held up. Well, 3 hours of waiting and no soap.
Well, you can't say we didn't try, Don.
That's right. You know, if people all really knew the...
All units in the vicinity on cars 50 and 52. At 2700 Burlingame, at the gas station, 459 there now.
That's us.
50, Roger.
Rolling on that call. A 459 means there's a burglar there now. There's little traffic on the street, and we're actually in the vicinity at the present time. So, in just a matter of minutes, we'll be there. Rolling at a very good clip now, slowing down momentarily. We have a rather odd sensation here in the car. There's fog lying in patches across the street, and every few seconds we sort of burst in and then out again. And just for that split second, our visibility is zero. Here comes another one up. You probably can feel the car slow down just a bit as the sergeant instinctively hits that brake. There we're in second, and in the clear once again and rolling. Now, I'll try to fill you in on just a bit of this picture in this last few moments. The gas station that we're trying to get to. Hold on, we're making a turn. Here we are, squared away. The gas station that we're going to, we've been there many times before, and if we can get there soon enough, we have a fighting chance of getting them, because the gas station is set on a large clearing, as I remember, and it's completely glassed in. So if he's in that vicinity, well, time will tell. Here we go, another turn. We're about three blocks from the station now. There goes off our headlights. We'll run in the dark the rest of the way. Try not to attract too much more attention than necessary. The street is almost empty as we're coming in from the opposite direction. There's calls coming over our speaker. Now, looking off in the distance, I can see the lights of another one of our cars coming in. That's a safe bet. It's another one of our units rolling in. And looking ahead, there's the gas station over on the right-hand side. As far as I can see, it's dark. There's no sign of life. Now we're pulling in quietly. Lights are off. Car is stopped. Sergeant Perkins is out of the car and hurrying around to the front door. The other police unit is pulled around to the other side of the building. They're out of my view. Now let's get right out with the officers. Out of the car. Up against the building. Moving along in the dark. There's glass breaking somewhere. Let's get around there. There he is. They got him. Popping through the glass window. He was trying to make a break for it. The officers are putting him under arrest, so let's get right over there.
Hang up against the wall there.
Who else is around here?
Nobody.
Buddy?
No.
What are you doing at this gas station? the window was busted and I...
What are you doing inside? Take a look at that hand here. How'd you put your hand?
On the window.
Now put your hands around and back of you. Don't mess around, fella. Put your hands around and back of you.
Please don't take me in, please.
You're going in.
Please don't take me in, sir. Please.
Please. Get the flashlight. Put your hands around here now.
Please don't take me in.
Put your arm back. Hurry up.
Please, my mother will kill me.
Put your arm back here.
Don't take me in.
All right, now.
Oh, okay. Oh, please don't take me in.
We're going in, son. You won't break into a place like this.
Okay, I'm not going nowhere.
You're right, you're not going anywhere. The only place you're going is the jail.
Oh, please don't take me in, sir. Please.
What are you doing in this building in here?
I was just walking by. I saw the window broken.
So you climbed in.
So I climbed in.
Take a minute, Bert.
Right. Please don't take me in, sir. Please.
The officers have the suspect handcuffed and are escorting him to a police car. Meanwhile, one of the officers are going to take pictures of the point of entry to be used as evidence if necessary.
Let me get a picture for you. All right, go ahead. Get out of here. The informant is across the street here. Gave a telephone call. I'll go check with him. Pretty good observation. I'll check with him if you want. So much blood I got on me. None. Lucky. I got news for you. Did you get some on you?
No, but I had it on my hands and I wiped it on my coat.
Wow.
I don't know where I got the blood from.
Did they get him in there, too?
That was a lucky break.
Uh-huh.
Boy.
And how?
Boy, that happened so fast. Phew. Let's move over to the police car where Officer DeVoe is holding the prisoner.
GTA, don't you know any better than GTA to break into a place and try to burglarize?
Please don't take me in. I'll get all kinds of messed up.
Sure you'll get messed up. You should have thought of that before you started this. You never learn once, you never learn a second time.
Oh, sir, God, I learned, honest, I learned. Please don't take me in.
What are you going to be doing at 21 if you're doing it now?
I won't do this again, sir, honest, I won't. Please don't take me in, please. Just let me go. Say I escaped or something, but let me go.
No, we can't do that.
Oh, sir, I'll never do it again, sir, honest, I swear it.
Well, you should have thought of all that before you started.
Oh, sir, can't you let me out of here, please? Honest to God, I didn't do it. I just went in.
Well, what are you doing in the building? The building's locked up.
The window is broken.
How'd you cut your hand?
On the window, crawling in.
Well, what are you doing crawling in the window like that?
I wanted to see what was up. I didn't know what was happening.
You can look through the glass, can't you?
I couldn't see anything.
Well, then what'd you go in for? It's none of your business. That's what we get paid for. It's our job, not yours. You been in trouble before?
Yeah.
What for?
For GTA.
What else?
That's all.
You on probation now?
Yeah.
Let's get around the building now with the sergeant and Officer Hebrard and examine where the suspect broke in.
I'm going to get some fingerprints on this thing, because if we can tie his fingerprints in there, then we've got definite proof. You want a radio for him?
Looking inside of the broken glass where we captured the suspect just a few moments ago. Let's see, it's rather dark in the building here, and I can see where he's been attempting to work on the cash register. Fortunately, he didn't quite make it. Don't want to get too close to the building for the simple reason we don't want to leave any fingerprints. The men will be down here. Sergeant Perkins, this is the gentleman that...
Are you the one that made the call?
Yeah.
Could you recognize who it was?
No.
Can you tell me this, after you called the police, did you watch the place here?
Yeah.
Did you see anybody leave?
No.
How many did you see here at the station?
Just the one.
And after you called the police, you didn't see anybody else leave the station?
No.
Okay, fine. Well, we may want some more information from you later. We can get it from your organization. We appreciate it very much.
Sure.
It's very alert on your part. Good night, folks. You don't worry about your house now, son. You're in it for a day. Your parents will be notified as soon as possible, but after the booking, not before.
It won't do me no good, though, now.
Well, it won't do you any good afterwards.
But I didn't do it.
You just relax. Everything's going to be all right.
Oh, I'm going to get all messed up now.
There goes car 5-2. Moving out now with the prisoner. Officer DeVoe driving. Officer Hebrard guarding the prisoner. He's securely handcuffed. There they go. Now I see the sergeant waving. That's our cue to get back to our police car.
5-0 to Control 1. Have you notified Lieutenant Olson on the fingerprints down here?
251, have not as yet. I am attempting to contact the owner.
50, Roger. We'll stand by until you get either Lieutenant Olson or the owner down here.
50, Roger.
Arriving now is the head of the Records and Identification Bureau, Lieutenant Olson.
Oh, me.
Hi, Lieutenant.
Fine, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Of course, he does deny it, huh?
He was in the place when we saw him, but he said he went into the door, found the door open.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we want to get the fingerprints inside if we could.
Don't disturb any of that glass there.
The rock is inside that apparently he used to break in.
The officers are going into the building, so let's go in with them. Here's a quick picture. The floor is littered with broken glass. The cash drawer is broken open, and coins are scattered all over the floor. And spots of blood are here and there, indicating the suspect cut his hand getting in.
We're on the cash tray?
Yeah. Blood on the pennies.
Blood on the pennies and the tray both.
The other money is still in the...
There's blood on the toolbox there, sir.
Blood on the toolbox.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do you want it for analysis?
Yeah, let me get an envelope
out here. Yeah, drop them right in this envelope.
I'll get some pictures.
I think that's all you need. You know, here's some more in here. You don't... That's the kid. He's the Cook Garson.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on their tour of duty. The people you hear are not actors, and every voice and every sound is real. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. We will give you the final results of tonight's case at the conclusion of The Night Watch. Now we switch you back to police headquarters and police recorder Don Reed.
We are located now in the Detective Bureau.
Tell us what happened tonight.
Sergeant Perkins, along with the other arresting officers, Hebrard and DeBoe, are about to question the young suspect.
You go by yourself?
Just sitting here, two things impress me a great deal.
Walking home?
First, despite the fact that this suspect is a big fellow, he's just a boy, maybe 15 or 16. And the great difference in his composure. At the scene, he was nearly hysterical. And now... Well, you decide that for yourself.
I think I was just standing there thinking what I'll do next. So I went in.
What did you do after you got into the gas station?
I looked around for a while in the container deal with some pennies or some junk on it. I don't know, I think I shoved it over. And I was in the mood picking the things up when you people came.
How much trouble have you been in before?
GTA and the GTA and the joyriding before that.
You have one joyriding, one Grand Theft Auto?
Uh-huh.
When you went to show tonight, did you have any intention of breaking into the gas station?
No, I didn't have any intention. I just started walking by, and I don't know what happened, but after that I just picked up a rock and I threw it through.
Did you try to get in the building at all before? Did you try to pry the window or pry the door?
No, I didn't try to pry it. I walked over and I looked in. I think I wanted to check my watch or something. I think there's a little clock in there somewhere. I don't know what it was, but I went by there and I looked in. And then I walked over and I picked up a stone, a rock, whatever you want to call it. Heaved it. I don't know why, I just did it.
Excuse me, just a minute. Perkins. Okay. DeVoe. Green wants to see you. You know, you're fairly lucky to have gotten out of that without being shot tonight.
Yeah, I've been told.
We're going to call your mother in a few minutes and tell her where you are. We can't release you now. You have to stay here, and then from here you go down to Juvenile Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take him back up? This is Sergeant Perkins. We have your son up here in jail. He broke into a gas station a little while ago.
I don't know why he broke into it, but he broke into it. We've caught him inside of the station. He doesn't know why he broke into it. Well, I don't either, ma'am. Well, I just wanted to notify you that he's here in jail and that he'll be here until tomorrow and transferred down to juvenile hall tomorrow afternoon. No, ma'am, we can't release him, but you can see him if you want to come down and see him. Okay.
It's about 30 minutes since that phone call. The mother, accompanied by the suspect's older brother, have just entered the office.
Gas station.
Right home. What time did you pick him
just
up?
Just looking at the mother.
What time was it?
Well, this scene is a little hard to take.
He was crouched behind the door inside when I got there. Window was broken and a lot of the things on the station were all over the floor.
How many boys were there?
Just himself. Just one. He told us that he came by the station and he didn't know why he did it, but picked up a rock and threw it through the window. Inside.
I think a kid's become a mental case.
Are you his brother?
Yeah. We live about four blocks from the station. I mean, he could have just as well continued on home. There's no excuse for it. How much did he gain by it?
He didn't gain anything.
Why don't you go sit outside, Mark?
You want to take us here some water right outside there and talk to you?
Come on. Get up.
Let me sit here. I'll be all right.
You're so busy, he can't watch you all night.
I'll be all right.
Would you like a glass of water?
No, I'll be okay, thank you. You know, I'll just ship him up and lose the book on him. I don't know what to say.
Well, we're going to have to find out what's causing him to do these things. Try to get it stopped before he gets himself into some trouble.
I took him to the movies, and I said, when he calls me up, I'll pick him up. He never called. I've been laying and watching that bed. I figured any minute he's coming along. I see it's 2 o'clock. It's 2:30. I figured he stopped. He goes to Hamilton. There's a little place there, an inn or something, that he may have stopped there. I wasn't going to go out at night and drive around and look. I figured I'll wait. This is what I waited for. Now they'll just ship him right back, if not even worse. Well, this is it.
Would you like to see your son?
I'd like to see what he has to say.
Right. Would you like to see him?
May as well face the music. I don't know if he'll say anything.
Do you want to go down here?
Sure. If they can come by. Hmm?
Bring them down here and then let them talk alone. You live at home?
Yeah,
I'm staying at my mother's house.
Have you noticed anything about your brother? That?
Nothing that would indicate anything like this. I mean, there's no actual reason for it.
Here he is. 15 years old, 6 feet tall, 190 pounds, accompanied by an officer.
What happened?
You don't know yourself. You just go through a rock through the window.
Where did you go after the movies?
I said I'm walking home.
How come you were so late from the movies?
Well, so late. I was about 12, but yeah, but...
The way you're acting, somebody think you're under narcotics. Are you groggy from something?
No.
I've been up almost 15 hours on the clock. I'm sitting and watching that bed of yours. I'm not groggy. I can account for every minute. What happened to you?
I don't know.
You know what this means to you and to me, don't you?
Yeah.
What does it mean to me?
It was going to get messed up again. Why did you think of that before you threw the rock? You had 4 blocks to go. You were going home. You had to stop on the way.
You want to talk to him alone?
You mind if we do?
No, it's okay. Why don't you step right outside out there? Shut the door there, come on.
Regular examination.
After having a few moments alone with the boy, he has been returned to his cell. And again, the mother and brother are talking with Sergeant Perkins.
A lengthy psychiatric examination, try to find out what's back of it. I'm primarily interested in the boy and getting him squared away, getting him straightened out. He's just lucky tonight that he wasn't shot. If he'd gotten away with this, why, maybe tomorrow night he'd try something else. Somewhere along the line, somebody was going to get hurt.
I don't know what to say.
The only thing we know about the boy is the last 3 hours.
I don't think we know much more.
We can't get deeper into him anymore. I stood out there and he didn't say one word. So, I don't know. Somewhere, something is wrong.
You have been listening to an actual capture and interrogation of a young juvenile suspect charged with burglary. And now back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's case of the juvenile burglar is very unique because it allowed you to follow the action from the very inception of the call. Although this case may be more or less routine as far as the records go, the important thing was the apprehension of this boy and the instigation of corrective measures. My department is cooperating in bringing you Night Watch because we believe by bringing into the open such cases as you heard tonight, we may help to deter some youngsters throughout the country who are taking the same chances and have not yet been caught. If we succeed in just reaching a few of them, then our efforts will be well rewarded in bringing you Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have just heard on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of your police department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hedlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.
It's 4:30 a.m., and we've just pulled into the police garage after taking the mother and brother of the suspect home.
Well, I don't know how you feel about it, but, brother, I've had it.
I'm with you. You know, Sergeant, I can't help but think of that boy tonight. His mother breaking into that gas station.
Yeah, but that isn't all he broke tonight. Let me have a cigarette, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Here you are.
Control 1 to 5-0, are you still in service?
5-0 to 1, we're just checking in now.
Roger, 5-0, 4:36 a.m., end of night watch.